back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. All right, all of that nonsense, and I say nonsense with all due respect, out of the way.
Well, Phil, you can't call something like that nonsense.
No, but that ridiculous jackass doctor. I shouldn't say jackass, but...
Well, you're the guy that booked him, Phil.
Yeah, I booked him because usually we have him on the program to talk about... The whole thing, get out of here with him and his wife, too. Whatever's going on, Dr. Sadler, with you and your wife, I would appreciate if you'd work that out first before you come back on the program, okay? You love her, you need her, you can't live without her, and she's the scum of the earth, and some creep dropped her off. I don't know, man, and it sounds to me like she's still got a problem with the addiction thing. The other news this weekend, just as sad, more sordid... Far seedier, and the whole creep factor on this one just goes off the charts, and that's the, and I don't want to get into it at all, you understand? But that's the whole Woody Allen controversy erupting yet again.
Well, I think, and I'd just like to say one thing, if you wouldn't mind, Phil.
You better watch out.
What do you mean, watch out? What do you have to say about this?
Hold on, Phil. Now, don't let her open her big bazoo.
I beg your pardon.
Hold on, Margaret. There's no need to comment on that story at all. Do you understand?
I just want to say I still think his movies are great. Is there something wrong with that?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. No, there's nothing wrong with that. His movies are great. His movies are great, okay? And there's an argument that has been waged for as long, I guess, as mankind has been on this planet. Which is the argument having to do with judging a man or a woman by their works, by their lives. Sometimes their lives and their works do not match. Sometimes the greatness that they leave us does not is something that rises far above what they were able to achieve as individuals. We have that example time and again. All kinds of people. If you want to hail Woody Allen's movies, that's great. I know there's a few of his movies that I really like. There's a few of Roman Polanski's movies that I like, you know.
Well, which ones are... Roman Polanski? What did he do?
Roman Polanski had a teenager.
Oh, well...
No, not well anything. The kid was 14. Come on, will you?
I understand that, but Roman Polanski's work has been very, very important. Now, Phil...
Hold on, Margaret. Am I to understand that you, a mother and a woman, are saying that Roman Polanski... is somehow escapes the critical eye of this issue because you, in all of your high and mighty media connections and the entertainment reportage that you deem so important...
Get a load of you.
I'm not done yet. The high and mighty reportage that you deem so important that supersedes the damage that guy, that Polanski creep, that little... Oh, baby...
Look, I'm not saying that what Roman did is right. I'm not saying that what Roman did is to be praised. I think Roman, you know, Phil, when I think of Roman...
Wait. Hold the phone. Roman, is it? Well...
Excuse me, but in the entertainment business, we often refer to each other... Oh, God, you don't refer to people as their first name.
Not people I don't know. No, I don't.
You... Oh, please. Yes, of course you do. Don't you call him Howard?
Howard Stern?
Yes.
Yeah, I've met Howard Stern. I know Howard Stern.
Well, get a load of you. Aren't you a big shot?
Yeah, Margaret, don't you know Mr. Henry knows Mr. Stern?
What are you all of a sudden? What are you, a stumbling, muttering clown? What are you, Billy Bibbit?
Hold on. Now, you can say what you'd like. I just thought that I would point out to the assembled that the use of the man's first name seems a bit affected... If you'll pardon me.
Affected? Or were you going to say affected? See, I know when you're about to insult me.
Affected?
Yes, that is an ass that's affected, as opposed to just a normal person who is putting it on and then needs to be slapped back into a sense of themselves, and they're fine. But affected is an ass, a full-on ass that is affected and cannot... for the life of anyone, have their face slapped back into a sense of themselves and some dignity.
I have no idea what the woman just said. Boy, it pisses me off, though.
I can tell, because your voice just cracked.
Oh, it did.
Yes, it did. So, more water for the general.
Now go get you a cup of water, General. Thank you very much.
Roman Polanski has made great movies. I will tell you that my favorite Roman Polanski movie is probably The Pianist.
Would you say that better so that people don't think you're...
No, I don't have to say it better. P-I-A-N-I-S-T, Pianist.
Well, it sounds like penis to me, and I'm getting water over here.
Nobody's asking you, man.
Well, I think you should. If Dickman, even with the plate in his head, is mishearing it.
What?
Well, I think he should be able to hear it clearly, given the fact that part of his head is made out of aluminum.
Aluminum?
Or whatever they've made it out of.
Would you get him his water, please?
I'm getting it.
Hey, Mr. Denner, I've been kind of silent tonight. I want to weigh in on this.
Of course, Robert. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Of course, Robert. Go ahead.
Thank you. Now, I think that these topics are very important. I know drug addictions are important. I know that the topic of Woody Allen is important. I think we should stay as far away from that as possible and do some other topics. I just don't think this is doing us any good talking about this. Very sad, very tragic. And got the Chris Brown story that I got for you. Here's a guy that was an escaped murderer. That's kind of interesting. And here's another story here about a woman. She dismembered her 32-year-old son. All right.
Thank you very much, Robert.
What's wrong with that?
Well, how does that make it better than what we've been talking about?
Because nobody knows who the guy is. You're not going to talk about somebody that's tragic, something that's bad and bloody. This guy got dismembered, man. You wouldn't know this guy from any other dismembered body.
That's fine, but it doesn't make it any less gruesome. Let me just say, I think you made a very good point, Robert, but let me just say...
Thank you.
What are you doing?
I gave the general some water.
I've got some water. Is there a problem with that?
There's no problem with it. I wish that water would do some good, because your voice just... now it's a regular occurrence of the show, that cracking voice. I think this is a very good point that Robert raises. These are issues that are serious, and to bring on Dr. Sandler to talk about addiction when his own wife is a morphine addict or whatever that was.
Well, it was the one caller was a morphine addict.
Yeah, the guy who called in from Boston.
Right, but his wife as well, Dr. Sandler said, had a substance abuse problem that predated their marriage, and she's still hanging around with creeps, and he considered her to be morally degenerate, which is not what we're talking about here when we talk about Philip Seymour Hoffman, not at all. Then we move on to the Woody Allen case, and that's just flat ugly, any which way you look at it. I can't, for the life of me... See, one of the things that I got a problem with is the young lady in this situation saying the things that she's said, remembering the things she's remembered, making the statement she's made, and they're doing the same thing to her that they do to a lot of these young people. They're telling them they're mistaken, they're telling them that they're wrong, and they're telling them that, you know, they're not remembering it right. So, you know, I think that's a destructive thing to do.
Well, we weren't talking about that, though. We were talking about Woody Allen's great films and whether or not you feel that they are... that they still rise to the level of the genius that I think we all agree that they do, except for you. You haven't weighed in on this.
So how do you weigh in on that, Phil?
I weigh in on Woody Allen's movies the way I always have. Some of them I like, you know.
Well, you've said some. Which ones specifically? I've got to know. Because if any of the films that you like that Woody Allen did have anything to do with
with little kids.
Hey, don't start judging me. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite movies, and yeah, it has a little girl in it, and quite frankly, and now I look back on the relationship he has with this little girl, and I'm wondering, what is Manhattan, you know?
Oh, Manhattan, are you kidding me? That little girl in that movie?
I think that kid in that movie is like his niece or something, isn't she?
Whatever.
Well, there was I like Manhattan. That was the first time I ever saw Meryl Streep on screen. Meryl Streep in that movie, man, I thought she was gorgeous. I never saw a woman so beautiful in my life when I saw Meryl Streep in Manhattan.
Who are you talking about?
Meryl Streep.
And who's this?
You ever heard of Meryl Streep?
I've heard. Is that Merle?
Merle?
Well, that's the one that they were pointing out to me.
The name's pronounced Meryl.
All right.
Broadway Danny Rose was funny to me. The Hannah and Her Sisters, I liked. Crimes and Misdemeanors, I thought was fantastic. You know, I mean, what do you want me to say? Yeah, there's some good ones. Roman Polanski, I like The Pianist from Polanski. I thought Bitter Moon was really a great film, a pretty devastating movie, but really great. People like, you know, Rosemary's Baby. Yeah, okay, sure, great, fantastic, whatever. I don't know. Chinatown, to me, will always be the greatest Roman Polanski movie I ever saw.
Now, what Chinatown? I've never heard of that one.
What's that?
You never heard of Chinatown? That's about one of the, it's considered one of the greatest screenplays ever written. Chinatown, Jack Nicholson?
Oh, is that the one with the Chinese woman, right?
What Chinese woman?
The film with Jack Nicholson and the other, the Chinese actress.
There's no Chinese, not the star.
Yes, the hell there wasn't. There was a Chinese woman in that film, as God is my witness.
Well, yeah, there was a Chinese woman. She was the maid.
No, I'm not talking about the maid.
Faye Dunaway is not Chinese.
Well, then why did she look Chinese?
I think it's the makeup.
You're talking about the makeup in a couple of scenes where they purposely made her look Asian. She's not... Faye Dunaway's not Asian.
All right, well, she did look Chinese to me. Or maybe not, or Korean.
Yeah, there you go. She was Korean.
Really?
No, not really. No, she wasn't Chinese. So that, to me, was one of the greatest movies ever made. All right, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll get into this story that Robert wanted us to get into, the Michigan mother charged with dismembering the body of a 32-year-old son, and also just some Phil Hendry Show news that we want to get front and center about the website and about future live performances of our one-man thing. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Well, just so we're all clear, I guess we're all clear, while we did lose our feed of the Super Bowl last night, so we did not have any Super Bowl here at the El Pacifico because we have Time Warner Cable, and, well, hell, it went out. And I like Time Warner Cable qualifying it by saying, you know, most of our customers have high definition, and we only lost it for the other... Time Warner, your service is noted across the width and the breadth of this land as being substandard. So your excuses about high def versus something else, your service to your customers is lousy. You lost this customer. I'm going to DirecTV, and I'm not getting paid to say this. This is, and here's one of the reasons why I say what I say. You know, as I said once before on a pre-show, and I might have said it on the air, but it bears repeating, some people say, well, there's Phil Hendry throwing his quote, media weight around. I'm telling you that for every one of me, there are I don't know how many hundreds of other people that don't have any voice at all, have lousy service, get short shrift by the people at work at customer service, get some run around by some tech that comes out to their house, and, you know, so that when I say something about the lousy, crappy service that they give, I'm speaking on behalf of a hell of a lot of people who nobody is listening to, you know, and that's why I do it. I'm not expecting any good service from Time Warner Cable. I'm gone. I'm leaving their company. I'm not going to be, I'm not going to be using their service any longer. But what I am saying is there are still people that are going to be, you know, accessing your so-called service, Time Warner. So you guys might want to kick it up another 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 notches, because I'm telling you, if somebody wanted me to list all the things that I've been through with you guys, it would be a long list, and all of this stuff backed up by other people. I mean, we've seen it all. And yesterday, for you guys to lose the for you guys to lose the Super Bowl, I mean, it's a big event, man. Tens of millions of people watch the Super Bowl. It's the biggest television event, arguably, in the broadcast year. I mean, sure, there may be some events here and there that get bigger ratings, but it is on average, probably the biggest television event we have. And you guys losing it, that's about as big a screw-up as can possibly happen if you're in the business of delivering this kind of stuff. So, you know, pull it together, man. Sack up. And I don't know. Do better, Jack, you know.
Bear down.
Yeah, bear down, man.
Bear down. Isn't that what you said someone said in a baseball game and they got thrown out?
Yeah, well, Pete Rose said that one time and got pitched.
Yeah, yeah. So if I suppose if I was in a baseball game and Time Warner was the umpire and I told him to bear down, I guess they'd... Why would he get thrown out for that?
Well, that, I don't know either.
Bear, if you tell a guy to bear down, you're either involved in a very intimate act with... Well,
would you not talk about... Are you kidding?
Yeah, where do you come from that?
What do you mean, where am I coming from? You're telling a guy to bear down? Is that what you're doing?
I'm not telling a guy anything. Some guy got thrown out of a baseball game by telling the umpire to bear down.
Yeah, it does sound kind of dirty.
Oh, get out of here, will you? I think the reason why he got thrown out of the game is he was essentially telling the umpire, you're not concentrating, you're not even in the game, you're not thinking of, I mean, it was a clearly insulting and it was a slap to the authority of the umpire. I don't know why umpires throw guys out of games any more than perhaps I know why referees would throw a football player out of a game. But in baseball, there is a very definite line between the participant and the official who's the umpire. And there's respect that needs to be given. There is a certain amount of protesting that you're allowed as a player or as a manager, and then you draw the line, you're not allowed to do it anymore. There's a certain way that you should talk to the umpire. You get personal, and they'll throw you out. You know, so it's...
So you're saying there's a protocol, there's a sort of there's an Emily Post?
Not Emily Post, but there is a protocol, yeah. There's in baseball, you can argue a call, but you can't get personal. I think they draw the line at the four-letter words, especially if you call the umpire a four-letter word. Maybe not so much the four-letter word, but it's the personalization of it. You can't go on and on and on and on and on. Some umps will allow you to argue a point when, if they think you got it coming. Like, well, it was a close call. Let this guy scream his guts loose and then tell him to shut up and go back to the dugout. And I think at that point, you're supposed to shut up and go back to the dugout. If you don't, then... You get pitched.
What kind of four-letter word are they going to let you say?
Well, they don't let you say four-letter words. You can't call the umpire a dirty MF-er or your mother blanks blanks in hell. You can't... do you think you'd be able to get away with that?
Your mother blanks blanks in hell. You're saying that to who?
You're saying that to the umpire.
Well, there's an awful lot of vulgarity in baseball. I would imagine that goes along with it.
No, that doesn't go... No. No. Are you kidding?
Am I kidding about what?
You're going to say to an umpire, your mother blanks blanks in hell, and I'm going to stay in the game?
Well, it seems kind of petty.
Well, you can't take too many things personally, Sammy.
If you're an umpire and you are trying to maintain your authority in a baseball game, and a guy wants to protest a call, he wants to argue a call, hey, that strike was, you call that a strike, I think it was outside, you know. And okay, so you're entitled. But if you turn around and look at the umpire and say that your mother blank blanks in hell, I think the game, that's it, man. You have just gotten yourself...
You say that the umpire going to be that petty.
Petty? I wouldn't call that petty at all. I would say that player has just stepped over the line into personal assault and affront, and he brought his mother into it? You're kidding.
Then I'm confused. That sounds like standard baseball chatter.
It is, Phil, to a degree. Don't you agree? To say that an umpire's mother is doing this or that to the...
No, man, that's not standard baseball chatter.
Talk about a guy's mother?
Yeah, you talk about a guy's mother. Guy's the umpire in the game? And you got to talk about what?
What?
What was the thing you just said?
If you say to an umpire, yeah, your mother's in hell servicing a variety of demons... And I know it sounds bad, but it's sort of comic, isn't it?
No, that's not comic.
You don't think so?
No, of course I don't think so. You don't get it, Margaret, because you're not a player, you know. What if that was one of your sons, and your son was an umpire in a game?
Yeah.
And some guy turned around and said, your mother is servicing the Legion in hell.
Well, my son wouldn't be an umpire, Phil. He'd be a player. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what Mr. Henry's saying.
I know what Mr. Henry's saying. Look, Bud, don't get between a dog and its meat, and you're really starting to... You're really chapping my hide.
What?
All right. No, you can't do that. An umpire's going to throw your ass out bigger than you know what if you start getting personal like that. How we got into this, you know...
Well, you're just simply talking about the authority that an umpire has, and I think you've got to... You have to...
Slow down.
You have to balance your authority with good humor.
Yeah, so the guy said, you know, your mama, she's in hell right now, giving it up for Lucifer, and when she's done with him, he's going to untie her from the bed.
Will you cut it out, man? There's no guy that's going to protest a call in baseball and go into a big, long thing like that. Or maybe not, I don't know.
Well, it's a goofy game. It's a real goofy goofball kind of a thing, isn't it? And the reason why we're talking about baseball is because football is over, and no one cares about hockey. No one cares about basketball. No one really cares about life in February, do they? Someone was talking about Punxsutawney Phil or...
Punxsutawney Phil. That's the groundhog.
Oh, well, whatever. You know, I can't wait for the baseballs to start and the different baseball games.
Yeah, all right. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry's show with more on the Michigan mother and her 32-year-old son with no head. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, online at philhendryshow.com, and tune in. And also, you can listen to a free live stream of our show on our website, and it is mobile. So if you go to philhendryshow.com, you're on your mobile phone, you can check out our show live every night, 7 to 10 on the Pacific Coast, 10 to 1 on the East Coast, by way of accessing our website, our mobile site at philhendryshow.com. Or if you'd like, you can go to TuneIn. Or if you'd like, you can just listen to the podcast the next day, but you have to be a Backstage Pass subscriber to do that. Had a fantastic meeting today with a variety of principals, and we're going to continue our live shows into the spring. I will give you an announcement as to our next date, but it's going to be in Southern California. It will be in the Los Angeles area, and very, very much looking forward to that. So we're off and running, if you will, and how many single dates, one-man shows we do this year will depend as we move through this process. Boy, look at Eric Roberts, will you?
Yeah, he kind of looks bad.
Eric Roberts, the actor, terrific actor, Eric Roberts, is on CNN right now, and now this is a cat that was...
Yes, Eric Roberts is recovering heroin user.
I don't know, you know. I'm not afraid of needles, but...
Well, I would think that's kept a lot of people from being heroin users, the fact they're just afraid of needles.
Yeah, and you can snort it, though.
All right, I take that back.
All right. In any event, that'll be fun. So let's get off the idea of... Let's forget about all the bad stuff, and let's talk about good things. Me on stage making money.
Yay.
Thank you. All right, mother charged with dismembering body of 32-year-old son, a registered nurse in southeastern Michigan. Good evening, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry. A registered nurse in southeastern Michigan dismembered her 32-year-old son's body and dumped the parts along several area roadways.
Well, did she kill him?
No, they're not saying she killed him. Her name is Donna Scrivo. She was charged with the dismemberment, disinterment, and mutilation of the body of her dead son, Ramsey, and the unlawful removal of the corpse. These charges that were brought are not the end of the case. We're still working diligently on a murder investigation. Uh-oh. Scrivo was arraigned at St. Clair Shores District Court. This is in Michigan. On Monday, where bond was set at $100,000, she's scheduled to be back in court on February the 14th. Police found garbage bags containing body... oh, boy. Body parts on Thursday after a resident spotted them strewn along two roads in China Township, a small community of the Great Lakes region northeast of Detroit. Authorities also found body parts nearby that were not in bags, as well as a bag full of clothes and charred paperwork, and they... The Free Press reported that a Macomb County probate court in 2013 had granted Donna Scrivo a petition to care for Ramsey, who was suicidal and suffered from paranoia and delusional thoughts. So what in the hell?
You know, I shouldn't say this, but Michigan, Wisconsin, these areas that are evidencing what I call the new American Gothic sensibility. You know, I feel as if there's a novel. I think there's a book in this. I really do. I feel a novel welling up inside of me, you know?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean, Bud, that I feel the need to put pen to paper on this gothic, the emergence of a new sort of horror gothic from the northern northwest of our country, you know?
That ain't the Northwest. That's the Midwest.
It's the old North. Would you be quiet, please?
Bud, would you let her finish?
Yeah, she's done it all wrong.
Bud, the old Northwest of America was, in point of fact, what today you would call the upper Midwest. But it was, in fact, the old Northwest. Now, if you look at old books...
Oh, who cares, ma'am? Talking about all this kind of gothic stuff.
I'm sorry, Robert, if you don't understand what I'm trying to say. I'm saying that there is in our country today a feeling of horror. Horror. You know what I mean, Phil?
Horror.
No. Pronounce it properly. As Marlon Brando said in Apocalypse Now, the horror. Do you remember when he said that?
I do remember Apocalypse Now. That's a movie that rubs me the wrong way, thank you very much. That Brando made a great many great career officers of the United States Army look like nuts. They looked like we needed he made all of us look like we needed a butterfly net. And I can assure you, I didn't take kindly to it.
But you must admit, General, the brilliance of that film.
I wouldn't wipe with it. I wouldn't wipe with it, with Marlon Brando. I wouldn't wipe with all of Brando. And I know that he's dead. God rest his soul. But I wouldn't wipe with what's left of him.
All right. There's no need to start bad-mouthing people, especially when they're not here. And I don't want to get into a whole review of Apocalypse Now. You understand it's a movie about Vietnam. The general is a veteran.
Well, I know that he's a veteran, but surely, General, you must understand the greatness of Brando's performance when he went, the horror.
What's wrong with your lower lip, please? Because
I don't think there's anything wrong. I think there's a certain way of pronouncing words that...
A certain way of... You mean the right way?
Well, Margaret, the word is horror. I don't know what you mean by horror. What is that?
That is the actual King's English hello of the way it's pronounced.
Well, guess what? There's no king no more. This is America where they don't have a king. We do it. If you want to do a way of pronouncing it, it's the president's way.
What?
Never mind. It's an old saying, Bud, the king's English. That's all. It just means speaking proper English. All right. So what about the horror?
I'm just saying that the upper Midwest, Michigan, Wisconsin, whatever's up there, Minnesota, certain parts of Minnesota, there is a gothic horror sensibility that sends a chill down my spine. It sends a bead of sweat to my brow. It sends...
Yes?
I'm going to kick... Hey! Kick your ass.
Watch it, Bud. Why do you do that?
Bud, you know what's going to send gas into your lower colon?
What? Some of your cooking?
You know what? I'm...
Let go of him, Margaret.
I'll kill him.
Let go of him, Margaret.
Oh, I barely touched you.
Hey, Bud, why don't you go and get the general some more water, huh? What do you think?
You don't need any water, do you, General?
Well, I think I might.
Okay. So this woman is, there's a real gothic thing going on. There's no question about that. She's nuts, man. She's all messed up. What do you think?
I think she probably killed him, man. Said he was suicidal.
Apparently, the guy, whatever the hell his name is here, this Randall, apparently he was suicidal. Ramsey was his name, and was paranoid. Do you think that it was one of those mercy killings that she just killed him and then tried to just get rid of the bodies? You know, I saw a thing here on TV not too long ago that was really out there. There's a guy, and the story goes like this. This guy was taking care of these two women who were sick. And one was a mother, the other was a daughter.
Oh, is this on the Investigation Discovery?
Yeah. And so he's taking care of them as they are gradually going downhill. Both of these women are not doing well. And they both eventually die. Now, he didn't kill them, but what he did do is he covered up their death. So... when they died, this guy knew that they were getting, Social Security checks.
Oh, and so this clown kept cashing them.
Yeah, this guy had some kind of power of attorney for both of them. So when these women died, and he was when they were alive, he was using the money to support them and to get them food and to take care of them. And when they died, he just didn't say anything to anybody. He kept on going out to the mailbox, getting the checks, going inside the house, dropping off groceries, making it look like they were there. And I want to say this went on for years. I mean, this guy was a real kook, man. You got to be some kind of a kook. I mean, you got to be real kooky, baby. You know, Robert?
Yeah, I know. I mean, what do you mean kooky?
Well, I mean, you know, we use the word psychopath, which means no empathy. And I think you have to be that way to let something like this happen, you know, just to have two dead bodies. And all you can think of is the profit motive. And apparently these bodies, and here's the thing that was really kind of creepy about it. The room that the women were in, and they were both in the same room in separate beds, apparently was dry enough. And it was just the right climate that the bodies did not decompose. They mummified.
Oh, God, this is creepy, Phil.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you the story. This is what happened. And it actually helped the authorities when they finally did get into the house and see what the hell is going on here. It helped the authorities actually determine date of death and everything because of, well, I better not get into it.
Yeah, on account of the insects and everything.
Oh, would you shut up?
Oh, that, yeah, bud.
Boy, that gives me the creeps, Jack.
Well?
But that was it. That's true. I mean, that's how they... this whole idea of forensic etymology, I think, is what they call it, where there is a study of insects as it pertains to the time and the place as well as the season of a crime. Because you find these remains that have been out for years, and you have no idea when the... You know that remains are skeletonized, and so you know that it takes a certain amount of time for that to happen, but you don't really, you can't pinpoint the season. And they now are able to do that using the insects in the area. And so this was weird. I can't even imagine a guy needing money that bad that you go through this weird this weird charade of pretending like there's two women alive in a house when in point of fact, every time you bring the groceries into the kitchen, you know there's two dead bodies in there.
See, that's the part I wouldn't be able to handle, knowing that there are two dead bodies in there while I'm making a casserole or whatever, you know. Did he close the door? I'd have to do something like that while I was cooking.
What are you cooking for?
What are you cooking for?
I've got to make it look real, don't I?
Well, but Margaret, you don't have to actually cook, you know.
Well, if I go in there with the groceries, I'm going to want to at least turn the stove on and do some light dusting or something.
You got dead bodies in there, right?
I know that. I'm the one that brought that up.
How are you going to cook?
By turning the stove on.
Wow. Well, I mean, how are you going to cook and eat whatever it is you're cooking?
Well, if you're going to cook it, you might as... What is up with you people? You're looking at me like I'm some sort of thing.
Well, you just said you give you the creeps. Now you're seeing able to eat.
Oh, don't go screeching, bud. You're like, don't you get to eat?
Margaret, you're the one that said that you would get, it would give you the creeps. Now you're saying you're bringing groceries into the kitchen. Oh, hell, I don't know how I do it as I'm cooking the casserole. What are you eating anyway?
All right, suppose I had a Stouffer's stovetop frozen, one of the frozen dinners. I just put it in and I lightly browned it.
What about it?
Forget it. Hey, Margaret, can you give me water?
Yes.
You need water, General?
Well, what do you think?
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you so very, very deeply there, General, for that. And we'll come back with more of our news. PhilHenryShow.com is right now featuring a special for you. It's kind of our Valentine's Month special. If you buy a year's subscription, you get 1 year free as a gift subscription for your Valentine. So I think it's worth it. Check it out at PhilHenryShow.com, a gift subscription for your Valentine when you buy a year's subscription. Now through the 15th of February, day after Valentine's Day at PhilHenryShow.com. It's world famous Phil Henry Show, PhilHenryShow.com. There is an autopsy planned, I guess, for today. When I say today, I mean today, East Coast time, on the body of Philip Seymour Hoffman, and there'll be more, and more news on the cause of the poor man's passing. But there was some reporting that the heroin that causes death is a particularly potent kind of heroin. It does contain an opiate that is traditionally used to ease the pain of cancer patients. And has a very, very obviously strong effect on the physiology of the person that's using it. So, or on the physical chemistry of the person using it. So, that's something they're looking at. But nonetheless, this is a tragedy of drug addiction. I want to say, you know, Margaret and General Shaw and Bud and Robert, that the as I've said so many times, the pharmacology, when I say that word pharmacology, the drugs that are being developed, we know more about the human brain today than we ever have. We know more about what the biochemistry and the neurotransmitters of the human brain can do. And the thing that's kind of interesting is that when you talk to people about the fact that we really are talking about a physical problem and a biochemical problem, and some people really want to hold on to the belief that it's a character failing, and they want to hold on to the belief that it's a moral failing, and they want to hold on to the belief that it's they want to blame the user. I think I'm not saying that the user shouldn't be blamed to a point, but the whole physical aspect of this thing is overlooked by a lot of people. You know?
Well, I think a lot of people, and I know Frank Gray is on the line, ladies and gentlemen. And Frank is a very dear friend of Phil's. He's my husband. He's over at Channel 19, I think, where Don Berman has just gotten done interviewing you, Frank. I know that as a producer, you've seen an awful lot of artists go down this road, haven't you?
I have, and I would take exception, Phil, as much as I admire you. I want to believe that just like Dr. Sadler, when she was talking about her wife and what her wife went through being a moral degenerate, I really felt close, very close to doctors. I don't mean close in a sense that you and most likely Dickman are thinking of.
Well, what does that mean? I know what you mean by close.
Well, then I should say Dickman. She's always, you know.
I didn't say anything about anything.
You know, Frank, just stick to the point, Frank.
All right. I just thought that Dickman would probably be giggling her fool head off when I said being close to another guy. But I have felt that what Sadler said was true. That there are people using drugs that have a moral degeneracy and a moral failing that needs to be pointed out. Now, as a producer in the television field, in the arts and sciences of the film and motion picture and television producing of the arts and sciences of the film, of the television and motion picture.
Arts and sciences, yes, we know what you're saying.
As a producer in the arts and sciences of the television.
You're just going to keep on going in that loop.
I'm sorry. All right, can I just one more? I just want to wrap it up.
Go ahead.
As a producer in the field of the arts and sciences of the television and motion picture arts and science.
Frank, give it up, will you, Frank?
I don't want to give up. As a producer in the field of arts and sciences of television and movie and the arts and sciences. See, that sounds retarded.
And please don't use the word retarded either.
Okay, so in other words, I've got all kinds of rules and regulations that have been slapped down. I feel like I've been slapped down.
Do you not want to comment on the story?
I do want to comment on it, Phil, but I think a story like this, I need freedom to comment as I will. And as a producer in the arts and sciences of the motion picture and the television, the arts and the sciences of the motion picture.
You know, what do you want me to do?
Frank, would you give it up before someone hangs up on you?
I have known a great many artists that have used drugs. I knew one of the finest actors, a guy by the name of Jimmy Carlyle, and she was earmarked for greatness. She was fantastic. She played the rough, rugged, tough Western hero, and we always liked her for those roles. And she always got the girl, and you'd see her riding off into the sunset with the girl sitting on the back of the horse. And the love scenes between her and the actresses that we paired her up with were really hot. I mean, super, super steamy hot. And Jimmy was all man. She was just all man. When she took her shirt off for certain scenes, you know, she had a hairy chest and back, and that kind of turned off the studio. But we told the studio, look, she's exactly what women are looking for. And so they said, oh, okay, you know what's best, Frank. And we've never gone wrong with Frank Gray. She's always steered us in the right direction, and there's no reason why she can't spot a great Western hero when she sees one, especially someone like Jimmy Carlisle, and we know that she knows her, and the two of them have lunch together. Now,
all right, hold on for just a moment, Frank, okay?
I'm just getting to the good part.
Can't take it, huh?
No, I can't take it. I can't. And I think the audience is sitting scratching their heads and anything else they scratch, and they're saying, what's the story with Frank Gray with his gender confusion, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, but, you know, get rid of the gender confusion and just go right to the essence of what Frank was saying there. And Frank was saying that great young artists are cut down in the prime by the scourge of drug addiction.
Well, of course they are. I mean, how many times are we going to say it? How many times do you need to say it? How many times do you need to say, well, there goes another one, and there goes another, and boy, and then go through the same old stupid arguments about how, well, they're, you know, what a scumbag. I mean, the Philip Seymour Hoffman hate, man, that it didn't take long for that to come out.
Well, I did see a lot of that.
A lot of it? Good God almighty. By mid-afternoon, the haters were out, and the garbage that was being dumped on him was... was unending. So, and again, I'm not trying to tell anybody what to think or feel. God knows. All I'm asking people to consider is that there is a physical component to this that has nothing to do with one's morality, one's responsibility, one's love of one's family, nothing. It is a terribly, terribly, it's in its essence, ultimately, a very, very physical illness, and has to be dealt with that way. All right, we're going to take a break and be back for our final hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Did you hear about the guy that's been that was at sea for a year?
Yeah, it's bullcrap.
You think it's bullcrap? We'll talk about it when we come back. Phil Hendry Show.